Hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. My name is Eric Jensen and I'm joined today by Trey Watkins. Unfortunately, Ryan couldn't make it tonight, our good friend at That Boy Wolf. We do love him and love having him on, but things are just kind of hectic with his work schedule right now. And obviously he's got the much more successful Saints Twitter podcast. It's a great podcast. You should go listen to it. Even if you're not a Saints fan, it's just really good entertainment value. We will have to chat with Ryan another day, but he has told me that we will make that happen at some point this season. But for now, it's just me and Trey Watkins. How you doing, Trey?
I'm doing all right. I'm just watching the last couple minutes of the U.S. men's national team World Cup qualifying, which that was entertaining, but you know,
other didn't than go that, well. No. I heard they lost to Panama.
Yeah, but they came back and won tonight after, you know, a really bad start early on.
But they're still, like, not qualifying, right?
No, qualifying doesn't – I don't know when qualifying ends, but qualifying doesn't end for a little more while now.
So. But they're not – like, if it ended today, they wouldn't make it, right?
If it ended today, they would, yes. Because the way CONCACAF works is that the top three teams –
they a top three team?
In the standings, I believe so, yes.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, I was unaware of that. I've given up watching them for mental health purposes.
Yeah, Greg's a literal terrorist. So.
Yeah, he's not good at his job. And I would rather not watch the U.S. embarrass me in a sport I care quite a bit about. So I would like that not to happen. Yeah. I am watching a little bit of Rangers Capitals on my way. I don't know if you saw the jersey, but Avalanche first game tonight. I appreciate you letting us record a little bit earlier so I can watch a little bit of NHL debut tonight and take care of business on that end. Okay, let's just get right to it, Trey. Slate this week. Usually we choose, it's kind of a weird slate. There are some games that are obviously interesting, but that we didn't want to spend as much time on. And what we're going to learn here is episodes are going to get a little bit shorter, especially when we have one episode weeks through the season, because there are just less and less teams become relevant. So we have about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games to talk about here. We'll talk about them. I want to at the end throw you my top 10 quarterbacks list, which I put out on the End Zone podcast, and we don't have to go super in depth, but I just want you to react to that, and then we'll wrap it up and call it a night. So that's how this is going to go. Let's start as always with the primetime games in the game that will kick off tomorrow. Bucks, Eagles. The Eagles coming off a comeback win against the Carolina Panthers, and the Buccaneers coming off a straight up dominant offensive performance against a Dolphins defense that we have been very, very, very high on, Trey, throughout the offseason and the season. But the Buccaneers just ran right through them. What are you looking for from the Eagles in this game? I know that you and I probably haven't watched them a ton this year, but what are you looking for from the Eagles in this game?
Just to stay competitive. They going over their schedule, they played a couple of good teams so far. You know, they played the Cowboys, didn't really look all that good. They played the Chiefs, and you know, they didn't look entirely all that great, even though they put up a whole bunch of points. You know, we're not gonna let that slide, since the Chiefs defense is probably one of the worst overall defenses we've seen in the league in recent memory. It's just, you know, trying to stay competitive, just seeing the development of the young guys, seeing if Jalen Hurts can continue his development, improve his case as the quarterback of the future for the Eagles, which I think for the most part has been going maybe well. You know, if somebody's out there listening and they have the evidence to correct me and prove me wrong, please let me know, because like Eric said, me and him haven't really watched a lot of the Eagles so far this season because, you know, there are more exciting teams to watch, more important things to watch. So, but, you know, just seeing if Jalen Hurts can continue his development in a good way and see if the Eagles can stay competitive. Because, you know, not a lot of young teams like the Eagles are going to, you know, end up staying competitive with so many good teams like the Bucs early on during their whole rebuild phase. So they can end up staying competitive with Tampa Bay, then it won't be a complete tell off what their progress is right now, as a rebuilding team, but it'll give some sort of indicator on how their team is being coached and what's going on right now, you know? So it'll be a good little indicator to see where the Eagles at.
Yeah. I will say this about the Eagles. It's been really interesting to see that offense run. They work best when they're running tempo, I think. And they're kind of going this no huddle style college RPO / Jalen Hurts can use his legs a little bit offense. And when that happens, Jalen Hurts is actually a pretty decent quarterback. And the Eagles defense, especially last week against the Panthers, was absolutely dominant from everything I've heard. Fletcher Cox had a big game. I don't think this one's going to be super competitive, though, just because of how good this Bucs team is right now. They are playing probably the best football they've played since Tom Brady's been there, just the way he's seeing the field and the breadth of weapons they have. Cam Brate has stepped in and played well in place of Robert Gronkowski, of course. I don't know why I just called him Robert, but you look at what AB did last week. Holy cow. That guy still got it. Still incredibly fast. Still an incredibly skilled player. And the Bucs just add him to a ton of weapons. And Mike Evans is one of Tom Brady's favorite deep threats at this point. He just throws him jump balls and Evans goes and gets him. And the Tampa Bay defense is slowly but steadily improving. I feel like this is going to be a bloodbath for the Buccaneers, and I think you agree with me.
No, I would tend to agree with you right there as well. You know, as good as the performance against Carolina for the Eagles defense, as good as that performance was, let's not forget Sam Darnold played probably his worst game of the year. It was not a good game by Sam Darnold. He really showcase a lot of the negative aspects of his play that really plagued him while he was playing with the New York Jets. So I don't think the Eagles can really put out consistent performances like that, especially against Tom Brady. You know, 44 years old, we've been in the league, seen every last coverage, every last little adjustment on the front seven, whatever it is, whatever, you know, you can throw at Tom Brady, he's probably seen it. So for, especially for a young Eagles defense, that just not, that does not indicate good things for the Eagles' chances to win on Thursday night. So yeah, I don't think this game is going to be particularly close. I got the Bucs, honestly, probably by two touchdowns at least.
All right. Yeah, for sure. I would agree with that. I'm interested to see how Jalen Hurts plays as well. So I think we both have the Bucs there. Seahawks at Steelers. We talked about this only because it's a primetime game. And also because we didn't chat after the Geno Bowl. And I know the Geno is not going to be a top 10 quarterback. I know that. But Geno was not bad in that game, and the interception he threw was because his receiver slipped. I think the Seahawks have a shot here. They were able to hold up against a pretty ferocious Rams pass rush. I think they'll be able to do the same against the Steelers. But this might be a Sunday night game to tune out of. what are you most excited for in this game, Trey?
Honestly, this is seriously my honest answer. The most exciting thing for this game to me is probably just watching Najee Harris and Deontay Johnson. That's literally the only thing. The whole excitement element with the Seahawks for me completely goes out the window, and into the complete. I was gonna cuss there. Can I cuss, Eric?
Sure.
Please. The excitement element for me personally, for the Seahawks, goes right into the shitter when Russell Wilson goes down, bro. Because Geno Smith is not escaping plays, making plays with his feet. Geno Smith is not escaping out of the pocket, throwing bombs down the field accurately to Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf. He's just not doing that. He's literally not doing that. So that's just where it literally just the excitement element, you know, for the Seahawks, for me, goes into the shitter, and I just don't, you know, I could care less about the Seahawks right now, until Russell Wilson gets hurt. For the Steelers, you know, Najee Harris, you know, I've been excited about him ever since I watched him play at Bama. He really excited me. I love watching him play. It sucks that he's been playing behind a pretty crappy Steelers line. He got some room last week, had over 100 yards rushing, the first 100-yard rushing performance of his career. So, That's one thing to be confident about. And luckily for him, the Seahawks don't really have a particularly good defense either. So we'll see. Like you said, this is probably a game that you will probably want to tune out of, assuming because this game is going to suck. Because first off, Big Ben stinks. Geno Smith is ass. You know, I it's just not a football game you really want to be excited for. So, I'm not really in love with this game, honestly.
It's a tough one. It's a tough one to get up for, that's for sure.
Hell yeah.
But one thing that we didn't talk about is that without Russell Wilson, I kind of think the Seahawks might be the worst team, one of the worst teams in football.
Yeah.
Because the defense has been so bad. Jamal Adams is basically a total liability in coverage. You can't play him in coverage, and he's not rushing the passer.
Yep.
That trade looks incredibly dumb at this point of the season.
Contract.
Yeah, man. I am pretty much entirely out on the Seahawks, except for Geno. That's the only reason I think I'll watch the Seahawks. And, you know, they're in a tough division. They could very easily lose over the next 6 to 8 weeks most of those games. I just want to read you the Seahawks schedule here.
Okay.
Really quick. The Seahawks schedule for the next 6 to 8 weeks. And man, it is not forgiving. The Steelers, the Saints, the Jaguars, the Packers, the Cardinals, the Washington football team, and the 49ers. And that'd get us to early December. And that is when I would imagine Russ might be able to come back. Is kind of that early December space. That's a tough stretch of games for a team who, even when Russell Wilson was playing, the offense wasn't looking awesome, and the defense has really struggled. So things could really fall apart for the Seahawks, and this might be the last time we talk about them for a while unless they're back on primetime again. Let's talk about Monday Night Football. Your team – well, not your team. I'm sorry. I know you don't like it when I say that. The team you cover, Trey – is the Tennessee Titans. And they are playing a pretty tough matchup, even though it's at home, against the Buffalo Bills. And I don't think we quite talked about it enough with Joe Rowe. The performance the Bills put up against who we think might be the class of the AFC going into the season in the Chiefs was entirely impressive. They got it done on defense. Defense looked just as good as it has every single week for them. And Josh Allen is starting to kind of get cooking again, and he has now put together three back-to-back-to-back very good, very impressive performances. And here he is again on prime time. This feels like the recipe for a potential Bills blowout.
I don't think it'll be a blowout. You know, if the Titans play like they played for the past 2 weeks, then yeah, I think they're going to get absolutely smoked, because that's just how good the Bills are playing football right now. But I don't know. Early season games, you know. Look, we're still in the early portion of the season. Things can get crazy. I don't know. I'm not trying to say.
Sounds like you're trying to talk yourself into this, Trey. I don't think you truly believe that the Titans won't get blown out by this team.
I'm not trying to talk myself. Look, here's what I will say, and I'll say it again. I just said it. If the Titans play like they've had over the past 2 weeks against the Jets and the Jaguars, then they're going to get smoked. But that's just the thing with the Titans. They are one of the more unpredictable teams I've literally ever seen. 1 week, they could be playing a real good team, and they could be insanely competitive, look really, really good, play good football. The next week, they come out against a team like the Jets. They give up way too many big plays over the top in the passing game and lose on the road and, you know, have an uncharacteristic loss in the win and loss column. So it's just really an unpredictable way with how the Titans are going to respond to this football game. But I'm going to be smart here, and I'm going to say the Titans are not going to suddenly know how to block, suddenly know how to protect Ryan Tannehill, suddenly remember how to have some success defending the run, and suddenly know how to find some consistency on both sides of the ball. So, you know, especially against the Bills, who are probably the best team in the NFL right now, definitely in the AFC, maybe in the NFL. No, I don't see the Titans winning this game right now. Would I be surprised if they kept it competitive and really gave the Bills a run for their money? Probably not, because that's just the way the Titans played over the past couple of seasons. But if I had to bet my money, I'd bet on the Bills walking into Nissan Stadium and giving a good spanking to the Titans at home on primetime, which would be a shame, because I would love to do more other things or better things instead of watching a blowout in a primetime game or a bad game in primetime. That's just how I am with everything. So hopefully we just get a good football game, just for my sake of having a short attention span. But I'm not expecting that. I'm expecting to have to sit through, watch that crappy game play out until it all ends, when I could really be watching something on my computer and making better use of my time, which stinks, but hey, yeah.
I kind of like blowouts a little bit. Yeah. They're kind of a guilty pleasure of mine, especially if the team's good. The Tampa Bay game was probably my favorite game to watch on Game Pass. It was awesome. They just beat them every which way.
Person, man. Like, no sane person likes watching blowouts.
Bro. Oh, I love blowouts. I mean, it means that one team is operating at a pace that's just unbelievable. It means that the Bills Monday night, let's just assume this is a blowout, because I think it is going to be. The Bills are playing at the top of their powers right now, and they're just taking it to an inferior opponent, which unfortunately the Titans currently are, because of reasons we discussed Monday with Joe Rowe, namely that the defense still is not good and the offense is very inefficient and very reliant on Derrick Henry. But he's the X factor here, of course, I think.
Nope.
Who knows if the Bills can slow down Derrick Henry? No one seems to be able to. But if the Titans can play possession offense, who knows? They might be in this game. But I don't see that happening. I think the Bills will get their stops against Derrick Henry. And we'll see a bit of a bloodbath on Monday night.
Yeah. Two things about trying to play possession football with that. Really, two things. In every matchup, Derrick Henry, and I just saw this earlier today, in every matchup Derrick Henry has played against the Bills, he hasn't rushed for 90 yards once. 90 yards, not even 90 yards. He scored, I believe, a handful of touchdowns, but he hasn't run even for 90 yards. So last year, he ran for only 57 yards, and that was one of the few games where the Titans just couldn't create any room up front for Derrick Henry to run through. So he definitely, the Bills definitely have his number when it comes to limiting his output in the run game and keeping him in check. And the other thing is that even if the Titans find some success on the running game and play possession football, I think it's going to be insanely difficult to keep the Bills in check, in terms of their explosive plays downfield. They're missing their best center field / range safety in Amani Hooker. He's been on IR for the past couple weeks. He got designated to return. He actually got activated off injured reserve earlier today, I believe. It was made official, but I don't think he's going to play this week. I doubt it. So that just puts even more worry for the Titans in terms of trying to keep a lid on the Bills' explosive element down the field. So yeah, that's a couple things that I wanted to point out.
Absolutely. All right. My team, the Broncos, play home against the Raiders, a team with no coach. We covered that extensively in yesterday's episode. But yep, from a football perspective, the Raiders defense has massively improved this year. Mm-hmm. They haven't gotten really lit up by anyone. Even the Bears, one of the Bears' scores came from basically forcing Las Vegas turnovers and playing with short fields. The Raiders' defense has been good enough to not be an embarrassment every week. So that's good. And the offense has shown an ability to do some good things, but then you look at it and you say, okay, John Gruden was probably calling all the plays and now you lose him. And even that was the strength of John Gruden, was his offensive play calling, which always kept him a little feisty. It's tough because John Gruden was basically the entire identity of the franchise.
He was.
the GM, the head coach, the play caller, everything. Everything was John Gruden. And now the Raiders feel like a team in total flux and a team that at the end of the year might move on from Derek Carr. And it feels like they're just ticking out time on the season, but it'll be interesting to see how a team with so many distractions around it responds this week. I kind of don't think very well, but it's also the Broncos. So I think that this will be a close game. These games between the two franchises always are. Right now I'm leaning Broncos just because home field advantage. I think the Broncos will drop the game in Vegas. This is a flashback to the end of the Broncos season last year, which I don't know if you remember, Trey, ended with total clock mismanagement by Vic Fangio and the Broncos blowing a 7-point lead with about a minute left. So things are not super positive between both of these teams.
Yep.
But whoever gets the win is going to look ahead. If it's the Raiders, they're going to feel, I believe, pretty good about themselves because the schedule ahead for them is soft. They play the Eagles the week after that and then the Giants. If they can get a win here, they can very much enter November as a 5-2 team. 5-2, 6-2 type team. Whereas the Broncos, this really is a must win because their schedule, I don't know if you've seen it, Trey, but is absolutely brutal for about the next month. After this game, they have the Browns, the Washington football team, the Cowboys, the Eagles, and the Chargers. A murderer's row of teams that could very easily beat the Denver Broncos. This is a must win for the Broncos, and even if they do win, it might not matter. But if you lose here, it feels like your playoff hopes and all intents and purposes, your season is over, especially if you lose to a team with no head coach and who is going through just a total hell scenario right now.
I think luckily for the Broncos, the Raiders are going through a PR sort of hell right now. You know, not just PR, but hell for the entire team. Like you said, the loss being basically their entire sort of decision-making nucleus. You know, and that was John Gruden. John Gruden was everything. So, you know, the head coach, we don't know what we're going to see with the head coach. We don't know what we're going to see with the play calling. We don't know how the team's even going to respond to, you know, John Gruden being gone and just the whole vibe around the team just being, you know, horrible. And it just sucks right now. So I think that's one of the really good things is going for the Broncos right now. And that's the reason I have them winning on Sunday against the Las Vegas Raiders. Almost said Oakland, but I have them winning against the Las Vegas Raiders. This should be a win for the Denver Broncos because everything is just, you know, pointing in a negative sort of direction for the Raiders. But it will be sort of a weird storybook sort of like scenario if the Raiders can put things together, come together as a team and look totally normal and win against the Denver Broncos, which is entirely possible as well because the NFL is weird and I don't know. The NFL's weird. So, but I do expect the Broncos to win on Sunday against the Raiders. That's where I stand right now.
Yeah, total toss-up game for sure. But I like the Broncos' chances a little bit more. This one might have surprised you, but I just wanted to talk about the Bengals. They play the Lions this week. One, shout out the Lions. They've remained super competitive in every game they've lost. Dan Campbell crying at the podium, I thought was kind of cool, but I could see how if he does that a few more times, might get kind of old. So maybe breaking that out in week 5 was a little much, but you know, the Lions aren't doing anything special this year. But yeah, their defense isn't nearly as bad as we thought it would be.
Yeah.
And the offense has moments where they look competent, but ultimately can't really get much done. And so they play now the Bengals. And I just wanted to touch base because I made a promise that I would go watch some Joe Burrow. And I did. And I came away thinking this about the Bengals. Very good team. They're probably a playoff contender. And I know everybody really dished on them for taking Ja'Marr Chase.
This looks fantastic.
But now that you look at it, it makes sense. Yeah. He is Joe Burrow's safety blanket. Every time something goes even slightly wrong, Joe Burrow just throws it up to Ja'Marr Chase and he catches it. They have unreal chemistry. He has that. I don't know if you saw the play last week where he comes across the whole field, beats the safety. Joe Burrow puts up this kind of looping jump ball that I thought should have been picked off, but somehow, you know, Ja'Marr Chase snatches it and runs into the end zone. And that's what he's been doing a lot this year. And I stand by what I said at the end of last week's episode. I think he's going to be a top 10 wide receiver by the end of the year. We're going to talk about him in that conversation. And it's impressive. Joe Mixon's picked up a bit of a bump. Samaje Perine looked really good running routes out of the backfield. They seem like the defense is capable. They got some good pressure on Aaron Rodgers, but the secondary is a little bit of an issue. They got beat by Aaron Rodgers quite a bit, but again, that's Aaron Rodgers. I like the Bengals in this game, and I really just wanted to bring this up because I think Joe Burrow he ends my quarterback list at 10. I believe he is a top 10 quarterback right now, Trey. I know we had some disagreements in week one. I think maybe you've changed your mind by now, but I just wanted to follow up. What are your thoughts on Joe Burrow thus far?
Burrow's look good. I mean, I was a fan of watching him last year, you know, before the whole serious knee injury situation became a thing. So I was a fan of watching before then. You know, he stepped up his play, you know, having Ja'Marr Chase, who a lot of people clown, you know, before the season start because he admitted he had problems catching the football because the NFL football, apparently to him, the NFL football is different from the college ball, but he's adjusted and he's played well. So I think Joe Burrow has played well. I think the one thing, and Aaron Rodgers brought this up, I believe, a couple of days ago, saying Joe Burrow has to slide, protect yourself, because he got blown up and, you know, during a play, got hit real hard, and Paul Brown Stadium, literally, you could hear a pin drop in there. That's how quiet it was when they saw him on the ground. Ended up getting a throat contusion, which I didn't even know was a thing until I saw that he had it, or until he was diagnosed with it. So he has to slide, protect himself. But aside from that, he's played good football, and I'm not really surprised, you know, with that at all. So, yeah, I think at this point, yeah, maybe it's I could feel comfortable sliding him in that top 10 quarterback sort of conversation because he's played so well. It's just at the beginning of the year, you know, when you initially made this list, he just, you know, was just coming back from the knee injury. There were some questions surrounding Zach Taylor, the pick of Ja'Marr Chase, the offensive line. But now that things are starting to shake out, I can feel a little bit comfortable putting Joe Burrow as a top 10 quarterback. So I'll apologize to you on that area.
No apology necessary. It was probably premature of me to think something like that, but he's played very well through 10 weeks. I don't think I'd put him any higher than 10, but I think he's played well enough to deserve that spot. Cardinals at Browns. Browns Chargers was obviously awesome to watch last week.
It was.
My game pass note is the Browns offense is ruthlessly efficient. They go for it on fourth down. They get it most of the time. They run the ball super effectively. And their short passing, mid-range passing game is probably the best in the NFL. And Baker is starting to remind me of like Kansas City Chiefs era Alex Smith.
Yeah.
And that's not a bad thing. Kansas City, people forget that Kansas City Chiefs era Alex Smith got them to the playoffs time and time again and always kept them competitive in the playoffs and even one year broke into kind of a top 10. And that's fine, especially with the lack of weapons he has right now with Jarvis Landry being hurt, and Odell has just not been good. He seems to drop a pass every single week. Some throws are off between him and Baker. It always just seems like it never really works. It's too bad. But I think the Browns are an efficient offense right now, and one that took care of business against a decent Chargers defense, and now they face a Cardinals team that really won because of their defense last week. I don't know if you saw any of that game, but the Niners offense, it helped that Trey Lance was playing because Trey Lance wasn't very good. And the Cardinals defense was all over the place, and they're kind of a week to week proposition, but when they play well, they play really well. And the Cardinals are still the undefeated team in the NFL. The offense slowed down a little bit last week. I really do think the Niners defense is a lot better than people think. The secondary has improved tremendously, and the front seven is playing really, really well right now, especially Fred Warner. who has gotten into the picture a little bit more these past few weeks. But the Cardinals and the Browns, it's just a really interesting matchup to me, because when the Chargers were able to take out Myles Garrett out of the game plan and Jadeveon Clowney didn't play, the secondary got torched. And I'm talking like Mike Williams was running wide open several different times. I think the Browns secondary might have a bit of a problem, a bit of an issue in coverage. And this is a really interesting matchup.
Yeah, you know, speaking on the Browns defense, I think the one thing, even though their front seven is real good and so talented, I think their secondary can be exploited and hasn't really played a lot of good football this year, which is unfortunate.
Very young.
But that doesn't change the fact that they haven't really played well. If they can, over the course of the season and start playing more complete football as a unit, then I think this defense will end up being one of the more physical, efficient, and suffocating units in the NFL, because they just have so much talent across that defense, not in just the secondary, but the front seven. It's just loaded everywhere. For the Browns, I think with – you're right about the Browns being really efficient offensively. Their run game's probably the best in football right now, and I don't even think it's really close, because they're just super good. They block real well in the run game. They create a lot of room for Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, and Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt are probably the best 1-2 punch that we've seen in the NFL since when. They're just two insanely talented backs. They're both running back ones, and both of those guys could start on any other team, maybe aside from the Panthers, Vikings, Titans. That's just three teams I can really come up at this moment, but they're just two insanely talented backs. I think what's hurting really the Browns right now, even though their offense has been good, I think what's hurting them right now is the fact that Baker Mayfield is playing hurt and he can't really throw the ball down the field. That's one of the big things in the Kevin Stefanski offense, play action, deep shots, trying to get Odell, trying to get Deontay Johnson down the field. Not Deontay Johnson, Anthony Schwartz even. He's played fairly well, since he came into the league as, more of a track star instead of an NFL wide receiver. He's played well. So it's just Baker's Mayfield inability to throw the ball downfield because he's hurt. I think that's one thing that's hurting his offense right now. But they're still a fairly good, efficient offense, even without that element, available to them at this moment. So they can stack up with the Cardinals offensively. They can keep up with them toe-to-toe. They can pound the air out the ball, or they can throw the ball all over the short to intermediate parts of the field. They can do all of it right now. It's just the deep part of the field, in the passing game that's lacking. But despite that, I think I'll take the Browns winning this one, honestly. I'll take the Browns winning this one, honestly. I think their running game is just way too strong right now. And, it's much as good as that Cardinals front seven has played this year. And I'll admit it has played really, really well. What's the name of their first round linebacker they just drafted from Tulsa?
Zaven Collins.
He's played well, which I think that's probably one of the biggest, one of the least most surprising things. He's a fairly athletic linebacker that can make a lot of plays. Isaiah Simmons, for the most part, he's played well, which is sort of a breaking news sort of development, because just last year, the Cardinals didn't even know where to play him. So now they're playing him more as an outside linebacker that can come in and make plays in a run game and use his athleticism in the passing game and be a fairly good coverage linebacker. So that's one of the biggest developments, I think, for the Cardinals, not just defensively, but for the whole team this year as well. So. Despite that, I still have the Browns taking this game. I think their run game really efficient. They're going to pound the air out of the football. They're going to get Baker Mayfield opportunities to throw in the short to intermediate parts of the field. And if that can open up some things, maybe Baker Mayfield can at least try to get a ball down the field and try to create some sort of diversity for this offense. But even without that, I still think the Browns offense is enough to win against the Cardinals this Sunday, honestly.
This is sort of about 2 weeks from now. Last year was about the time the Cardinals started falling off last year, where they played their, I believe it was a week seven or so game against the Seahawks in prime time. And that was really kind of a height of the Cardinals. And then they kind of fell off. The offense showed signs of slowing down a little bit last week. I think it was just the defense. But this is it. This is where Cliff Kingsbury shuts us up, is this span of the next 3 to 4 weeks, where if they can go 2-2 or 3-1 over the next 3 or 4 weeks, they have the Browns, the Texans, the Packers, the 49ers, and the Panthers. Some decently hard games in there. We will figure out over the next month or so how real the Cardinals are. And then their schedule gets super soft towards the end of the year. If they survive that 4-game stretch, the rest of the schedule looks like Seahawks, Bears, Rams, Lions, Colts, Cowboys, and Seahawks. That's not an unwinnable schedule. That there are some teams in there that are not going to be hanging around at the end of the year, notably the Colts, Lions, Bears, and probably the Seahawks in that Week 17 game. Week 18, pardon me. This is just to say, I'm going to do something crazy and say I was wrong, Trey. I was wrong about Cliff Kingsbury. I believe in him. And if he makes me look foolish, that's the end of it. I'll never get sucked back in. But I've seen enough this year where I believe in the offense. And more than Cliff Kingsbury, I believe in Kyler Murray. And just the talent around them's too good. I think they win this game. I really do. And I think that we view them as the second best team in the NFL after they do so.
That's a rather bold take. Kudos to you for taking back the hate tour that you have for Cliff Kingsbury the entire offseason, which I was a part of that as well. And I will apologize as well. But I'm still going to keep it in the rearview mirror, keep it in the back. But
probably smart.
Start screwing up and Cliff Kingsbury goes back to his disgusting ways that pissed me off last year.
The other thing that I just, it's a quarterback league and that's kind of how I pick these days. And Kyler's just playing way better than Baker right now. And I think that I'm taking Mr. Murray in this matchup of two former teammates and Oklahoma Sooners. So that's a neat storyline to look at as well. I'm sure that Fox won't shove that down our throats. I'm sure something like that won't happen. Right, Trey? They won't do a sit down with both of them separately and be like, what was it like playing with Kyler and Baker at Oklahoma?
That would be so awkward.
I'm sure that's not going to happen.
That would be so awkward.
Chargers at Ravens. I went back. I game passed it. I implore you, Trey, to look at the highlights of this game if you haven't already. That was the best game of Lamar Jackson's career as a passer. And while critics might say, oh, he didn't make any tight window throws, blah, 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 this and that, and all that nonsense, I think that shows us something. I think it shows us that the fact that he always finds the wide open guys is really a testament to his vision and the way he sees the field. He never makes those tight window throws because he's always finding the best option. And sometimes the best option is a 7-yard dig route that your receiver can go turn into 10. And it's fine to march the ball down the field that way. And Lamar Jackson can do that. And he can also hit the deep stuff to Hollywood Brown over the top, who's played incredibly through 2 weeks now. But here they play against Justin Herbert, who is in his own right a top 5 quarterback in the NFL right now. But the Chargers have won a lot of close games. And let me tell you, Trey, I feel much more confident about the Ravens going into this game than I do the Chargers, because I think the Chargers won't be able to stop Lamar Jackson on the ground. And I think that their secondary has enough question marks at corner that the Ravens can make things sort of hard. Oh, and not to mention, this is Rashad Bateman, likely, as of today, his debut, which, you know, let's hope that that's actually the case, because I think both of us were very high on Rashad Bateman this offseason through this whole draft process thing, and I would like to see him play in the NFL. So this is a huge game this week, and it's a total toss-up, but I feel more confident in the Ravens right now. What about you?
That's a pretty reasonable conclusion to come to, because Lamar Jackson is a more proven commodity at this point. The Ravens are more proven commodity as a team. But you know what? This is the year of the Duck. It's the year of the Herbert. It's the year of the Staley. It's the year of the Chargers, man. They've been masked or sort of looked over a little bit coming into the year because of all the Rams, Sean McVay, Matthew Stafford, Super Bowl talk. And the Chargers have just come out, put together some really good performances this year. And although some of those performances have ended up in maybe a little bit of, you know, heart pain and chest pains and nausea because the games have been so close and fans have been so nervous watching those games play out, they've won those games and they're gaining a bit of character and experience as a team. So I'll pick the Chargers for this. Pick the Chargers. But I really think, and honestly, I really think this game is going to be a wild game. Honestly, I know both teams possess some pretty good defenses statistically, but this game just screams to me, you know, explosion like we saw last week with the Browns and Chargers. I don't know. I don't know if that's accurate, but that's just what I want to see. I want to see Lamar Jackson and Justin Herbert duke it out, because those are two quarterbacks I could really get behind and watch and be like, oh my gosh, these two quarterbacks are insanely good and I'm watching something crazy right now. So I want to see these two teams duke it out, these two quarterbacks duke it out and give us a game that we'll be talking about probably for the rest of the year.
All right. That's a good transition. Very briefly, I just wanted you to tell me the most surprising thing about this list. This is my top 10 quarterbacks list. And you can see it on the doc if visually helps you more. Yeah. Tom Brady, number one. Dak Prescott, number two. Josh Allen, number three. Justin Herbert, number four. Lamar Jackson, five. Patrick Mahomes, six. Seven, Aaron Rodgers. Eight, Kyler Murray. Nine, Matthew Stafford. And 10, Joe Burrow.
I don't think anything really surprised me. I'm trying to really think of maybe some quarterbacks that...
I wonder if maybe I should have Kyler higher, but I just feel like right now it's just kind of a mess between 6 and 10, and you can kind of swap out any of those guys. I think the top five are kind of in a tier of their own between Brady, Dak, Josh Allen, and Justin Herbert and Lamar right now. I feel like those are the guys playing at their best. And, you know, Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, Kyler Murray, Matt, those are guys that just need to be there because they will always be there at this point. They have cemented themselves in as top 10 NFL quarterbacks.
That's pretty fair about the whole 6-10 range, because that 6-10 range, Mahomes, he's looked a little bit ahead this year. Rodgers looks week to week. Murray, even though his team is 5-0, sometimes he himself hasn't really looked all that great, especially on Sunday against the 49ers. Stafford, he had that weird game against the Cardinals that was, you know, coming off, I think it was the week after the Rams had beat the Bucks at home, and it was just a weird game for him against the Cardinals. And then Joe Burrow, you know, I like Joe Burrow, but there's been times where he has looked a little bit inconsistent this year as well. So, yeah, that 6-10 range is a little bit of a little bit of a roller coaster in terms of week-to-week performance. So, but overall, your list isn't bad. I like your list. I think it's pretty accurate, you know, to how the year's been going on so far, you know, with Tom Brady being at one and the likely NFL MVP at this rate. So, yeah, I like your list.
Excellent. Keep an eye on the End Zone Podcast Twitter at End Zone Pod. I'll be putting out some more lists like this occasionally, and Trey, whenever he can, hopefully not, I won't be bugging him too much about it because I know he's got a lot on his plate, but you know, he put out a great power rankings list this week as well. We both did. Go check those out on the Twitter page. All right. 2-minute drill. Pull up the rest of the schedule here, Trey, and maybe you and me go back and forth rapid fire through the rest of some of these games. I will go first so you can pull it up.
Okay.
And here we go. Dolphins Jags, does Tua play this week? He was throwing earlier in the week, so I feel like his return here is a possibility, I want to say. He's returned to practice at this point, which means he's off IR, so that's good news. We'll see if Tua plays here. I feel like this would actually be a good place to play him. Jacksonville's defense is very bad. This is a good chance to see, you know, a good milestone game to see where he's at.
Yeah, and just looking through the slate with everything, you know, Dolphins, Jags, that makes me want to throw up. Chiefs, I don't know. I just don't know. Packers, Bears. My fantasy wants Packers Bears to be fun because I want to see Justin Fields and Aaron Rodgers duke it out. But this Bears offense is somewhat of a train wreck right now, especially with David Montgomery out. I think this game will probably be maybe a little bit of a slugfest. Not because both teams have good defenses, but because one team has a bad offense and a good defense. One team has good offense. A fairly bad defense, but they're playing against an offense that hasn't found a lot of success. So, I don't know. It could be a little bit of a snooze fest. Rams-Giants, don't even talk to me about the Giants. They stink. Texans-Colts, look.
Gambling note, numbers too big for the Colts. There's no way they're winning this game by 10 points. The Texans have been too competitive every single game for that number to be right.
Exactly. I know I said Dolphins Jags makes you want to throw up, but Texan Colts is probably one of the games that you show a prisoner who's committed a horrendous crime and you want to punish them for a couple hours. That's a disgusting game. I probably wouldn't watch that if I had a gun pointing at my head. That's how bad that game is. Vikings Panthers could be good. Could be. I'm just not really sold on Sam Darnold at this point. The rest of the games, I don't know. Cowboys, Patriots, the Patriots stink. They've won two.
Not good.
But the Patriots stink, man. The Patriots stink. Forget the clock. I want to finish. Patriots stink, man. All right. Mac Jones is doing everything that Cam Newton did last year. And Patriots fans were jumping for joy and freaking jumping, doing backflips, taking off their shirts, twirling it in the air. Look, Mac Jones is doing everything that Cam Newton did last year. They're not asking Mac Jones to do too much, which, I mean, I don't know if that's an indicator of where he is right now or if he's just not able to do what or do even more. But he's doing everything that Cam Newton did last year, so – and plus, the only good player defensively for the Patriots right now, I think at this point, is Matthew Judon. That guy's a stud. Oh, and J.C. Jackson. But Matthew Judon is a stud, man. I thought he got overpaid, but he's making that contract look absolutely worth it at this point. So good on him.
All right, Trey. Good one here. Not too long, I don't think, either. I feel like we got out of here probably under an hour. So that's good. Yep. Miracle what happens when we do two shows a week, even though our last show was an hour and a half. So probably didn't make that much of a difference anyways. But just one show a week next week, obviously. Back to school for – was this your fall break or no?
My fall break's next week.
Oh, cool. Well, hey, at least you'll have some time off.
Jeez, man. 2 days.
Oh, man. I got a whole week. That's crazy. All right, man. Well, I'll see you next Wednesday. I think we'll get back to doing Wednesday night for recording. And, yeah, we'll see you then, Trey. And let's go watch and enjoy some week six.
Yeah, hope so.
All right, man. Thank you so much for listening. We will see you all later. Peace out, all.